Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
One of the big exciting free agent acquisitions for the New York Giants this offseason was safety Javon Holland, who joins us now. Javon, good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing, fellas?
We're doing great. Now, when you think of Javon Holland, what's the first thing that pops in your mind?
He's a Canadian.
Okay.
First thing. That's valid.
That's valid. That's a good one. Right. First thing that pops in my mind is the Fail Mary.
The Fail Mary, okay.
He was the man who brought back that Tim Boyle interception on Black Friday. Which was one of the most insane football plays I'd ever seen in my life. What was it like being you during that play?
It was cool. It felt, you know, kind of regular. We do that a lot in practice, and it just kind of came up. And once it happened, it's kind of like a drop field goal.
Yeah.
And I just knew, I was like, get to our sideline. So it was, you know, it was pretty surreal. Going back and watching it a bunch of times was always cool, and people come up to me and was like, "Oh, Fail Mary." It's cool having like a play that had people named. It's definitely awesome.
You know, just so you know, as an ex-NFL jet quarterback, I've had a few plays that were named after us I was there. It just seems to happen for the Jets, unfortunately, whatever that is. What made you want to come here to New York, given the state of their defense and their lack of real success over the last 3 years?
I think it's the atmosphere, you know, what can be, what Daboll and the organization were kind of putting together, and the direction that they were going. You know, they brought in a lot of guys that are like-minded, a lot of individuals that I know, and I felt like I could be a pivotal piece into changing the narrative around the New York Giants back to what it once was in recent history. And because it's a winning organization, and you know they've had success in the past, I think that, you know, the roots are there for a, you know, successful season and successful organization. And I think that you know, I'm one of those pieces.
I like when I get the perspective of someone who hasn't been here, because we've seen all of it for the last number of years. This is your first experience here looking at this defense. There's some other guys that we haven't seen, like Abdul Carter, but what's your impression of how good you guys can be on that side of the ball this year?
I think our level of success is all determined on our want to. I truly do. I think we have all the talent necessary in the room, and the youth as well. Because, you know, I've been on young teams, I've been on old teams. I think being youthful is definitely something that you could use to your advantage. I think, you know, we have the bones for a great year, a great defense. I think we just need to put it together. I think we just need to trust each other. I think that's the first part of having a successful defense, is everybody on the field trusting each other, all 11. And then, you know, from that point, I think that we can be as good as we want to be. Just, you know, how committed are we?
You know, did the Giants go after you right away, immediately? Was it because, I mean, look, you're still a young guy. You've played a lot of games. You started a ton of games for Miami. You were a second-round draft pick. I'm just wondering, like, were they all over you right at the beginning of free agency?
So I chose to stay out of, you know, I chose to stay out of free agency as much as possible and let my agents handle it. I told them what I wanted and what my thought process was and where I would be open to going, but it was more so I wanted them to negotiate. So, yeah, the Giants called, but it was mostly like a timing thing. The first part of free agency for me, like the first like couple of hours, was stressful because I'd never been in something like that, and I saw other people, you know, getting signed and getting calls and whatnot. And so it took time because my agents were, you know, doing what I paid them for. But eventually, you know, the Giants called and you know, they hashed out the details, and I was happy with the result.
As a major, you've started 57 games. I mean, like, you are a top-end safety in the league. What happened in Miami? Why wouldn't – I would think, like, I'd want to stay in Miami.
Well, probably cap issues, right? I mean, they can't keep everybody.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that it ended up going that way, but, you know, it's probably cap issues. I didn't really – after a certain point of the season, I kind of just kind of let it go. You know, I wasn't holding on to anything or anything like that. We had talks like preseason, trying to get something done. But things kind of just went to the wayside, which no love lost. You know, it's still the team that drafted me and gave me the opportunity to play in the NFL. So I'm grateful for that and the experiences and teammates that I've had there. But, yeah, it just didn't work out. It just didn't work out.
You know, it's interesting. I know it's a new start for you. You don't want to look back. But Gio and I, when we look around the league, we think that team is in trouble. The Dolphins are in trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
I don't know whether or not you want to opine on that or not, but it seems like it's a little off. Something's off down there.
You know, I don't necessarily know their future. I just know that the players that they have there are some good friends of mine. And, you know, whether it may look one way or may look a different way, I think that the guys that they have down there are definitely working hard. And, they're going to do their best to go out there and be successful. So.
I mean, Jalen Ramsey ended up leaving. You know, I mean, that and you end up leaving. And Christian Wilkins ends up leaving. And he ends up leaving again other reasons, I guess. What was he like as a teammate, Christian?
Christian was great, man. Christian was he was the first guy in. He was the last guy out. He was a hard worker, fun atmosphere. He was one of my vets.
Is this like one of the strangest things I've ever seen in the NFL where the Raiders are calling back the guaranteed money? As a player, that can't make you happy.
I mean, obviously, anybody getting money called back from their boss is going to be unhappy. But I think the situation itself, I don't know all the details and whatnot, so I won't, speak on it entirely. All I know is Christian. And in my time with him, in my experience, Christian has been a phenomenal individual. He's one of my mentors that I would say helped me, become a professional in the league. So I can't say anything but great things about Christian.
What was it like being a young professional athlete in Miami? I mean, my God.
It was a good time for sure. We definitely made sure we had fun. But it's also difficult. You kind of have to grow up because if you have too much fun, I'm not handling the business. So
was that tough though? Like to find a strike a balance there because it's like the world's at your fingertips.
Not really. Like when you're living down there, because a lot of times like people go on vacation in Miami, right? So you're only there to like party, have fun. But like when you're living down there and you got to go to the grocery store, twice a week, you got to make dinner. Like, things kind of just overlap and they rise above going out and partying and whatnot. Yeah, you have a day in a week or whatever. You go to the bar or something, but it's just regular life down there. It's not necessarily a distraction.
From your perspective, is this the best defensive line you've had in front of you since you've been an NFL player?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So what do you see from where you're sitting?
I mean, from where I'm sitting, I would think that this is definitely the best defensive line that I've been a part of. Dex, Burns, KT, Nacho, DA, Chat. All these Abdul, like we just added, we got pass rushers, we got guys to stop the run. I'm loving that, honestly, especially with our linebackers, Bobby and Micah and Moose and Flan and Spider. Like front seven wise, like when I'm looking in front of them, I feel good about not having to be quick to the run game. So I'm enjoying that.
You a hockey guy being from Canada?
I kind of am now. Like, being in Florida, I was there when they first
the Panthers,
went to the... Yeah, I was at the game when they first went to the Stanley Cup and won. So, kind of. And I watched it this last past Stanley Cup. So, yes. But, I mean, I was a Canucks fan growing up, even though I didn't really watch that much.
Right.
And then when I went to California, I was like, I went to like two Sharks games, which was cool.
We gotta be a Rangers fan now because Boomer's like the number one Rangers fan in New York.
Yeah, we beat the Canucks for Stanley Cup back in 1994 before you were born. that was our last Stanley Cup. The interesting thing I wanted to ask you about being here in New York now. The trappings are the same. It's New York City, and you were in Miami. You were talking about living there every day. I mean, New York City is literally 15 minutes away from here. No traffic.
Right.
I mean, so you also could be caught up in that as well, but it doesn't sound to me like that's going to be a big part of what you're doing here.
Nah, man. I got bigger things to worry about. On days off and whatnot, yeah, I'll go have a good time and go to the bar or whatever, go eat a nice restaurant, but it's my job. Like, I got to also put food on the table and make sure that I'm handling my business. So, and also, I'm passionate about it. So, it's not something that's just going to fall to the wayside and not be in the front of my mind. On top of that, I got a girlfriend. I got three cats.
You're a cat guy?
I'm a cat. I'm both. Oh, I'm a cat and a dog guy. All right?
All right.
So I grew up with my dog, Moose. He's a black mouth cur. It's a very unique brand of
dog. I've got one of my dogs is a mutt that has the mountain cur. It's got the longer, like, legs and the brindle on them,
Kind of. Yeah, black mouth cur kind of looks like a lab and a pit bull, like the way that they sit, but it's got like a German Shepherd nose and like face.
Do you still have him?
Yeah, he's in California with my parents.
Okay.
But growing up, I've always been a dog guy. And it, like 4 years ago, I was like, maybe I should get a cat. And I was kind of playing with the idea. Then I met my lovely girlfriend. She already had a cat, which she saved. Her name is Remy, black cat. And after a while, Remy started to warm up to me. I'm like, all right, baby, I want a cat that's a little bit more level. So we got Rocco. He's a Russian blue, and Rocco is
a lot of personality.
We got him as a kitten, and he's so lovely. Yeah. He's lovable. Anybody comes around, he just wants belly rubs. And then my neighbor was getting rid of his kitten because his daughter didn't really like it. Shout out Rob. He texted my girlfriend, or he texted me, and I sent it to my girlfriend. Like, do you want this little cat? we got him, and he looks just like a lynx cat, but he's like a little bit bigger than Rocco, but he's like a, I don't even know, like a long-haired.
So three cats.
Like a cheetah.
Three cats. Next. Remy, Rocco, those, and Lynx.
Like a leopard or something. Yeah. What do you think about that?
No, actually, my homeboy, Trill Williams, shout out Trill, he's in the WWE, Trill London, he has a, like an ocelot cat.
Oh, so like those big ass.
Yeah.
I've seen those things.
Very aggressive. Yeah. I never went to his house.
No, I wouldn't go to his house either. Dangerous. You know, you want to see him really light up? Talk to him about SGA.
Oh, yeah.
Canadian basketball MVP of the NBA.
Yeah, shout out SGA, man. He was a foul merchant, is what people will call him. But I think, you know, he just gets to the line, man. That's part
a
of
foul merchant. Yeah, he is. He's pretty good at it. So is Jalen Brunson here in New York.
Yeah, he's got to go, but I can't believe I'm about to show Javon Holland my dog. But here, so this is a lab. Great Pyrenees Mountain Cur mix.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is a...
And he's got like brindle and black, and he's got those mountain cur legs.
It's a hell of a combination.
I mean, it's nuts.
What's his name?
So,
Jeffrey, like Chad. You gotta give your dog like a... You gotta give your animal a unique name. So it has its own identity, and it fulfills that identity. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just give a black dog like a, this is my dog, Brad. No, you got to name him like, you got to name him like Zeus or
Well, Elvis, he's the king. You know, that's the thing. He's the king, Elvis. All right, Javon, it was great meeting you. Best of luck this year, man. I think you're going to love it here, and have a great season.
Thanks, fellas.
Javon
Holland.
Good to
see you, Javon. Thanks.
One of the big free agent acquisitions in the NFL landed right here in New York with the Giants.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.